From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama getting a warm welcome in Indonesia, where he arrived today. Second stop on his Asia trip, a country where he spent 4 years of his childhood. Mr. Obama is praising what he calls the comprehensive partnership between the U.S. and Indonesia, including cooperation on security concerns.
I believe that our two nations have only begun to forge the cooperation that's possible. And I say that not simply as someone who knows firsthand what Indonesia can offer the world. I say it as president, a president who knows what Indonesia and the United States can offer the world together. If we work together in a spirit of mutual interest and mutual respect.
The president's brief visit to Indonesia likely to be cut even shorter over concern about the volcanic ash spewing from the country's Mount Merapi volcano. Israel is moving ahead with plans to build 1,300 new apartments for Jewish families in East Jerusalem. NPR's Michelle Kellerman says word of that move has angered Palestinians and drawn criticism from the U.S., which is trying to revive peace talks.
State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley says the U.S. has repeatedly asked Israelis and Palestinians to avoid actions that could undermine U.S. efforts to get the two sides talking again.
It is counterproductive to our efforts to resume direct negotiations between the parties.
He says he expects Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to discuss this when she meets Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Thursday. Palestinians say they won't return to the table until Israel halts Jewish settlement construction. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
The Obama administration and the American Medical Association are both urging Congress to act quickly when it returns next week to head off a potential 23% cut in Medicare payments. But NPR's Julie Rovner reports that canceling that cut is only half the battle.
This will be the fourth time this year Congress has been faced with the prospect of a huge cut to doctor pay in Medicare. The current delay to the cut expires December 1st. The AMA wants Congress to defer the cut for 13 more months. So does the Obama administration. They say that will help doctors regain trust in Medicare and give lawmakers time to come up with a more permanent solution to the funding shortfall. But a 13-month fix could cost as much as $20 billion, and it's not clear where that will come from. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
Former President George W. Bush is defending the U.S. invasion of Iraq and other controversial aspects of his presidency in his first major interview since leaving office. Mr. Bush says he never considered apologizing for going to war based on the assumption that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, which proved not to be true.
Apologizing would basically say the decision was a wrong decision, and I don't believe it was a wrong decision.
Mr. Bush, in an interview on NBC, also defended the use of waterboarding of terrorism suspects. This is NPR News from Washington. The International Energy Agency releases its annual World Energy Outlook today. NPR's Paul Brown has seen the report and interviewed the agency's chief economist. Paul joins us now. What are the major themes of the report, Paul?
Basically, Craig, that the world is at something of a tension point between the need for a secure energy supply and the need to protect the environment and limit climate change due to greenhouse gas emissions from burning fossil fuels.
So what's the report saying should be done?
First, it says what hasn't been done. IEA chief economist Fatih Birol tells me the world missed a big chance last year at the climate conference in Copenhagen. There, it didn't come up with agreements on who would do what to limit an atmospheric temperature increase to 2 degrees. Celsius. Birol tells me now that it will be much more expensive to reach that goal.
We have found out the failure would cost the energy sector an additional $1 trillion U.S. dollar.
And Birol tells me now the world needs to do two things. The first is to use oil and gas more efficiently through more economical cars, more efficient lighting, more efficient heating technologies.
Second, making more use of renewable energies, wind, solar power, and others.
So, Paul, are there any roadblocks to using renewables?
Birol says the big one is cost, Craig. He says that is tied also to government subsidies in many countries for fossil fuels. Now, those subsidies make oil and gas artificially cheap. Birol says they need to end, and the governments need to throw support behind renewable sources of energy.
Any other major points in the report?
A big one. China is taking the lead in using renewables and providing equipment for it and electric cars. And Birol says that could put a crimp on industries in other countries later.
Thanks, Paul. NPR's Paul Brown in Washington. This is NPR News.